Morning, good morning, good morning. I talked about this being a place to belong and to meet new people and touch base with old friends. One thing that we did forget to remind you of this morning is that after church today, we do have a coffee and a fellowship time in the lower hall, Jubilee Hall, and so we hope that you will stay just a few extra minutes and touch base and maybe start or continue a conversation with someone that you know or someone that you've just met. And then secondly, we have our September kind of back to church picnic down at the Legislative Park. And so if you're interested in that, please come and join us. It's kind of a bring your own lunch kind of party, but if you don't have enough food, I'll share my sandwich with you. We'll pray over it. We'll pray that it gets multiplied. And please feel free to come and join us. I need to begin by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many of you have welcomed us and embraced us in so many neat ways over the past several weeks since our journey to this position at First Baptist Church. We have been humbled, we've been pleased, we've been overwhelmed in many ways, and we are joyful, joyful, joyful. Sandy and myself and the boys are joyful too, though they're a bit nervous back to school in a different school this week, but they did really well. So you've welcomed us, you've prayed us in, you've been kind to us. Some of you in this congregation even sacrificed life and limb to unpack our moving van. And if you were there to witness that moment, you know what that was all about. Lord, have mercy. So as today, as we spend some time in these texts that we've heard this morning, you have the title in your bulletin, Ambassadors of Love, Light, and Peace. And I want to talk about ambassadors. And some of you may know that I was involved in a CBM, a Canadian Baptist Missions trip this summer. We, as a Canadian Baptist mission, sent almost 200 students overseas from Canada, from across Canada. From Canadian Baptist of Western Canada, we sent about 100 students. And I was able to join a team of 20 that went to Kenya and did a short-term ministry in Kenya, working with one of our partner churches there, and then finishing off with a World Youth Conference in Leipzig, Germany. And as we spent time in Kenya, one of the things that we recognized was that we were actually ambassadors. We thought we were going there to work on this water project and just kind of serve and get dirty for God. But when we pulled into the parking lot of this little church in Mariakani, Kenya, there were 100 people waiting for us. And it was like we were royalty coming in to this very humble churchyard with a very one-room church building, and they had prepared a feast for us. And so as we walked in, all 100 of these people wanted to welcome us and shake our hand and say, jumbo, 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 and invite us in to what was happening there. We felt like royalty, and it was humbling, and yet as we talked with our team leader later on in the day, Tim Bannister, we said, that felt really weird. We're just here to work. And he reminded us, no, you're ambassadors. You're ambassadors of CBM. You're ambassadors of the people of God in Canada. And these people are overjoyed for you to be amongst them. Being an ambassador simply means being a messenger or a representative. And even as our Bolivia team prepares to go to Bolivia again and represent us as a church, represent us as Canadians, represent the Christian community in Canada, they too go as ambassadors. And so I know that we are supporting them and just remind you to continue praying for them as they really are our representatives. But we're all ambassadors, aren't we, when we think about that? We represent something or maybe some cause or some kind of important thing that's passionate to us. And even as you think upon the last week, What kind of ambassador were you? What were you representing this past week? Maybe you'll think about that. But today, as we reflect on God's word, I want us to think and pray about what it might be for us to continue to be ambassadors of love, ambassadors of light, and ambassadors of peace. Let's talk about being ambassadors of love just for a couple of minutes. Last weekend, I had the privilege to do my nephew's wedding in Banff. And it was a beautiful wedding, and the couple had chosen 1 Corinthians 13 as the text for their marriage. And I know we often find that that's a common text in marriage ceremonies. And I wanted to remind them as they were talking about love that this love was a deep, deep love, not a cheap love. And so as we think about being ambassadors of love, we too need to think that it's more than just that superficial, oh, I love pepperoni pizza kind of love. We're talking about a deeper love here. I even think about that Coke commercial. I don't know if you saw this Coke commercial, but it talked about love. And the theme song was love, and this guy buys a Coke, and then he shares it with someone else, and then he helps a homeless person, and then he trips a thief and gives the handbag back to this older woman that the thief had just stolen it from. And this guy was, you know, it was that Coke adds life kind of feel and that lovey feeling. And yet, when we're being ambassadors of love, I think that's part of it. But I want to remind us that it is this deeper love. This 1 Corinthians love that says love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And we hear that in the Romans 13 passage this morning, where Paul says, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. So we're called to be ambassadors of love. Secondly, we're called to be ambassadors of light. This week I had a good conversation with a friend and a colleague who phrased it this way. He said, the challenge really is to usher in light versus being a people who usher in darkness. And I don't know what kind of week you had, but can you say that you were someone who ushered in light to conversations, into schoolyards, into university classrooms, into workplaces, into homes this week? Or were you someone who really helped usher in darkness? And even my friend, as he was sharing this story, talked about one experience where he had this intense conversation with a customer service person at a CD store, and he got really mad, and he ended up getting so mad that he just said something really brutal and then stormed out of the store. And as he was storming out of the store, it was like God was saying, hello, you're a pastor, and here you are ushering in darkness into this place. And he felt so convicted that he actually turned around and went back into the store and apologized to the customer service guy and said, you know, I'm sorry. I believe in God. I'm a Christian. And I'm sorry about that. And I want to be someone who ushers in light to this situation rather than darkness. In Romans 13, we read, let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not reveling in the darkness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let's be a people who usher in light this week, in the days ahead, as we go back to work, as we go back to our homes, as we go back to very ordinary or mundane places, we can make these small or big choices to be a people who usher in light. And therefore, we become these ambassadors of light. So we're ambassadors of love. We're called to be ambassadors of light. Thirdly and finally, I want to say, let's be ambassadors of peace this week. As we spend our last time in talking about ambassadorship, I want to focus on Matthew 18, our gospel text. There's a phrase here in Matthew 18 that's often used in prayer, where we say in our prayers, "Jesus, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're there also. So thank you for being with us during this time of prayer." And I think that's a great prayer. But I also want to say, don't forget the context of where Jesus was saying that. He was saying that in the midst of conflict resolution. And isn't that interesting that we often use that phrase just to magically get Jesus into the place? But really, let's remember that that phrase from Christ was connected very closely to a situation of conflict resolution. And so, if we really want Jesus to show up, if we really want to create that place where he can be glorified, where he can be welcomed amongst us, let's not forget that it needs to be a place of peace. And so let's not forget what it means to be reconcilers. And so even in our own lives this week, and as we reflect on this text a bit more, if there's a place in your life where there's conflict, where there's hardship, where there's division, perhaps today Jesus is calling you to be an ambassador of peace. And maybe that's going to need to be a phone call, or maybe that's going to need to be a short letter, or even an email or a card sent that might start that reconciliation process. And I'm not going to talk about the threefold pattern. You can read it for yourself in Matthew 18, but I'm going to invite you to pray, even at the end of the sermon, pray that God might be showing you that person or that situation, or he might be calling you to be an ambassador of peace this week. One of my richest childhood memories is my mom sitting on my bedside. Now, my mom passed away from cancer when I was a teenager, but I can remember during those years when I was 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and my mom would sit on my bedside, and she would pray the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi with me. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." I absolutely affirm and celebrate the mission of our church. And it's right there on your bulletin this morning. Seeking the peace and well-being of the city. I hope we can at least memorize this one-liner so that when people ask us, "Well, what's your church like?" I hope that you can say, "Well, what we humbly try to do from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year in downtown Edmonton and beyond, is we try to seek to be peacemakers and seek to be a people who bring well-being to the city, to this province, this nation, and even the world." And I'll invite you, maybe even during the week, again in your bulletins, there's a covenant statement on the back, and we won't take time to do that this morning, but maybe next week or the week after, we'll take time as a congregation to reread that loudly together. But perhaps this week, as you're just getting back into the swing of things, or maybe you're just visiting our church for the first time, please take time on the back of your bulletin to read that covenant that we as the people of God here at First Baptist Edmonton gather around. And maybe it will, maybe it'll work in your life personally this week to remind you of the personal call that God has on your life. But then also as a corporate call, it will remind us of what we're about as we re-enter September. So in closing, I'll give us just a minute or a minute and a half just for a quiet moment of reflection, and invite you to silently wait upon the Lord. And perhaps there is something that He'll call you to today, to live out this week, to be that ambassador of light, to be that ambassador of love, to be that ambassador of peace that He's calling every one of us to be today. So I'll just give a moment of silence as you pray that way and respond to God, and then I'll read a closing benediction prayer. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen."